Shiro's Arm Betrays Him by Arahir, from Shorts and Drabbles, read by Rhea314. Fandom Voltron pairing Keith Shiro, rated General Audiences. Shiro's Arm Betrays Him. It happens first in a meeting. The MFE pilots are in attendance, standing against the wall behind them, forbidden seats for reasons no one has ever explained to Shiro, along with the upper brass and the paladins, who count as some nebulous rank between ranks now. Shiro's half-focused on the map that Iverson is going over and half on Keith next to him. His first day back in action, and he has to spend it in a meeting. Shiro makes a mental note to take him to a new market later. Show him the stand the Puijian refugees have set up. Get him some of their almost ice cream, just to see his face when he tries it. His favorite flavor is chocolate, and they have something that almost tastes like it, though it's nuttier and rich. Shiro's been back there 3 times to check, because it was good, and because it was something to do that wasn't work or worrying about the fact that Keith still hadn't woken up. He's midway through his daydream, imagining the taste of the ice cream and shaping Keith's smile around it, when he realizes something in the room has changed. Iverson's still talking, but Shiro can feel eyes in the back of his head. It's one of the MFEs, it has to be. Shiro doesn't turn to confirm, because as soon as that realization hits, so does another one, and it's worse by several degrees. It takes him a moment to identify his faux pas, because the new arm reads sensation different from his hand. But then it comes to him. Soft cloth, heat, the distinct hardness of solid muscle. His prosthetic hand is on Keith's thigh. Keith always sits next to him by some unspoken tradition and pride. Shiro wouldn't sit anywhere else. The prosthetic is resting there innocently, as if by accident. And it has to be an accident. It is, he consoles himself in that long, terrible moment. Shiro tries as subtly as possible to glance at Keith out of the corner of his eye. He's not looking at Shiro. He's focused on the meeting, for once, and Shiro gets sidetracked in the little tangent of respect and pride that Keith has grown into this. A leader looked up to by millions, a pilot unmatched. He's become something strong and wondrous, and somehow he still hasn't noticed Shiro's new hand is nonchalantly using his thigh as an armrest. Shiro has the sense that if he moves the hand, Keith will notice. Maybe if he finds an excuse to stand, or reaches for a glass of water, or lifts the hand with glacial slowness, he won't. Someone clears their throat behind them with intent. There are still eyes on his back. No, not his back, he realizes. The person behind him is staring somewhere lower. Shiro closes his eyes and commits himself to the abyss. He tries to shift his thumb, half nervous twitch, half experiment. Keith doesn't move. Even his eyes stay still and intent on Iverson's presentation, as if it's the most fascinating sight. Shiro gets bold and tries to move a little, but it has the same non-effect. Maybe Keith is that focused. Maybe Shiro's hand is as much an afterthought for him as it is for Shiro, and it's not a big deal after all. Ahem. The person behind them says aloud, it's not even a throat clear, and it's a man's voice. It's Griffin, it has to be Griffin. Shiro ignores it, even as his face heats. If he can lift his hand off all at once, as one entity, slow and steady, Keith will not notice. He's sure. He steadies himself like he's getting ready for a bad weather takeoff, breathes again, and starts to lift his hand. At the exact moment Keith shifts his body, he sighs, moves a little, settles deeper in his seat, and Shiro's hand ends up mid-hover, mid-caress over his upper thigh. Even with the long uniform jacket as a buffer, the position is several inches past appropriate. This is second base, Shiro realizes. This is second sliding into third. No, it's only third if it's on purpose. Intent is half the crime. Behind him, Griffin makes a soft, affronted sound, almost like he's been punched lightly in the solar plexus. Relatable, Shiro thinks, as all the blood in his body is torn between rushing to his face and elsewhere. That's not a new development, but it's one Shiro's been trying to ignore since Keith stepped out of an Altaian pod with pecs and hair past his shoulders and legs for days. Keith stays cool and collected, utterly disinterested in anything that isn't the map at the front of the room. It can't be that fascinating. It's not. It's Iverson and a laser pointer and statistics on resistance group organizational structure. And Keith is the only human on Earth that wouldn't notice a hand on their upper thigh. In all human history, he's the first and the last. Thank God for little mercies, Shiro thinks. He somehow manages to hold himself in perfect stillness until the end of the meeting. It is, in his vast experience, the longest meeting of his life. In years of Galaxy Garrison minutiae, and having to make nice with all the Voltron Coalition's disparate planets and peoples, nothing can stand testament to it. Later, it'll occur to him that it all might have been saved if he'd moved his hand at first notice, if he'd said a quiet apology, laughed a little laugh to downplay it. But in that moment, he's frozen and bound. When the meeting ends, finally, blessedly ends, Keith stands and Shiro's hand falls away naturally, without pomp or circumstance. Shiro gets just one moment to breathe before Keith turns to him and says softly, "It's okay if your hand gets cold sometimes, Shiro." Before he walks out of the room. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening.